Lord willing, for 3 weeks, I would like us to study 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 10 with the theme of building a spiritual house. Our mini-series includes three accounts as Peter talks about the church. To begin with, today we will study the foundation of a spiritual house, and then the following 2 weeks we will study those who are excluded, and then the people of God and their rules. So today we look at verse 4 through 7, but I'd like to read verse 4 through 10. Here is again God's word. As you come to Him, a living stone, rejected by man, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in scriptures, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a royal holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That you would be pleased from your throne in heaven to reach down into our hearts, to open our hearts that we might respond. As you would have us to this your word on this day, please open our eyes and ears. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last year, one Korean church in Korea, was controversial not only in Christian circle but also in Korean society. The reason was that they were building a new church building and it cost $300 million. $300 million for one church building. The church, which had been growing, had an old building with a small sanctuary, so the church was in the need of a new building. They had a huge number of worshipers on every Lord's Day and were asked to have better facilities, like a beautiful sanctuary, a comfortable dining room, a coffee shop, a bookstore, and so on. I do not want to just give you this example as a negative picture of one Korean megachurch. Mainly, I want you to think about what makes the church a church. What is the beauty of the church? A high ceiling in the sanctuary? A pipe organ? Or glass art? The true beauty of a church does not rely on buildings. From today's passage, you and I will discover the true beauty of a church. In the New Testament, there are many metaphors for the church. For example, it is described as a vine with many branches, a shepherd with many sheep, a body with Jesus Christ as the head, and a holy city being ruled over by a king. Also, in 1 Peter chapter 2, our passage, it is described as a spiritual house, a temple having a chief cornerstone. Please follow along in the mind of Peter as you build this spiritual house, a spiritual house which has as its chief cornerstone and foundation Jesus Christ. I humbly ask you through this passage, we should build this spiritual house now with its foundation, Jesus Christ. Our first heading is the reason for reconstruction. The reason for reconstruction, which is with the comparison between a living stone or a dead stone. I want to begin with a story of Christ, who is the chief cornerstone. Christ has to come despite the reconstruction of the Jerusalem temple by the great Herod. Christ was called as a living stone and he became a cornerstone. The metaphor of a stone or rock was frequently applied to the Messiah in the Old Testament. This theme of a stone or rock was not something new for even Peter and other Israel people. In today's passage, Peter cited Isaiah 28 in 1 Peter 2:6, as we read earlier in Isaiah 28, Israel's situation was very dark. Not only chapter 28, but also the whole book of Isaiah is filled with warning to Israel's religious leaders regarding the spiritual darkness in their society. In Isaiah 28, verse 7, we read, "The priest and the prophet reel with strong drink. They are swallowed by wine. They stagger with strong drink. They reel in vision. They stumble in giving judgment." Then, in verse 8, Isaiah continues by saying, "For all tables are full of filthy vomit, with no space left." In verse 15, he adds, "They who rule these people in Jerusalem said, 'We have made a covenant with death, and with sure we have an agreement when the overwhelming wind passes through. It will not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and in falsehood we have taken shelter.'" This was the spiritual condition of the religious leaders. Very miserable and dark. However, we see the light in the midst of this darkness. In verse 16, which Peter quotes, the Lord God says, "Behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation." God promised And this promise is accomplished by the coming of Christ as the foundation of New Zion. Christ is not only a taste and precious stone, but also a living stone. In 1 Peter 2, 4, which obviously refers to Christ Jesus, whom Peter mentioned in verse 3 already. So far, the expression living appears 3 times in 1 Peter. Earlier in 1 Peter, we studied about living hope, then living word, and now living stone. As Christians, we are born again by the living word, holding on to living hope, and building a spiritual house in this world as living stone. We can do this because Christ is the living stone. However, people rejected this living stone of God. The false leaders of Israel granted people's salvation, a false salvation with dead words, not living words. The words were made up by the false leaders due to their misunderstanding God's word. They gave the people a dead hope, not living hope, just like the false prophets did. They proclaimed peace and peace, but there was no peace. The leaders tried to build a temple in Jerusalem with dead stone, not living stone, missing the true foundation of the holy temple. There was no true Messiah in their teaching, sacrifices, and in the temple of Judaism. Jesus Christ should come and must come because he needed to become a living stone, a precious cornerstone of the house of God as he promised. Just as the false teachers and corrupted leaders of Israel, if we miss Jesus Christ as the foundation of the church and the living stone of the house of God, we cannot properly be called the church, can't we? After the lengthy portion of Matthew 23, where Jesus scorned the scribes and Pharisees as irreligious professional religionists, we found Christ's lament over Jerusalem in verse 37 and 38. I will read. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. See, your house is left to you desolate. And in 24:2, Jesus prophesied, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Since Titus destruction of the temple in AD 70, there has been no physical temple in Jerusalem. The literal earthly temple of the Jews was gone. There was no place where Jewish people could bring pigeons, lambs, and cows for their sacrifices. However, Jesus Christ, who is the living stone, became the chief cornerstone of the new temple, which is spiritual. Jesus Christ fulfilled and finished the era of Old Testament temple worship. We should build the spiritual temple with Christ today. How did Jesus Christ fulfill the reconstruction of the temple? This question leads us to our second heading, the reconstruction of the architect. The reconstruction of the architect. First, we should remember that the architect of this reconstruction was God, not man. In verse 4, a living stone rejected by man, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Christ was chosen by God, not by man. In fact, he was rejected by man. If I were an architect, I would hire skillful workers for a new project and give them instruction which materials should be used for a floor or living room and so on. But what if they did not carry out my instruction but rather did what was right in their own eyes? I should fire them. Here is a similar biblical example from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 21. You can open the Matthew chapter 21. There is the parable of the wicked vine dressers in verse 33 to 41. With the parable of two sons just preceding it, this parable is directed toward religious leaders, chief priests, elders, scribes, and Pharisees, as well as toward the nation itself. The landlord is described as having rented the vineyard to some vine dressers, represented here by the Jewish leaders, in return for an agreed proportion of the vineyard's produce. However, the vine dressers, the servants whom the landlord sent to claim this rent which was owed to him were abused and wounded, and some were killed. The vine dressers were not the landlord of that vineyard, so they should have kept their promise to their landlord. They should have done what they could do in that vineyard, but they didn't. And Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruit of it." Just as in my own illustration, the workers did not carry out what I had ordered them, but used their own plans. So, to Israel's readers rejected Jesus, who is the living stone, and built their own temple with dead stone. This parable of the wicked vine dresser comes up right before Christ quoting from Isaiah 28 in Matthew 21:42, just as Peter quoted in 1 Peter 2:6, our passage. It's the same quotation from Isaiah 28, Matthew 21:42. Jesus said to them, Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Christ was rejected, but he is fulfilled the reconstruction of the architect. In his last week of public ministry, according to Matthew's account, on Monday, Jesus cleansed the temple. Tuesday, after final warning, like here, he left the temple. His departure from the temple ended his public ministry, and he waited in quiet his death 3 days later. Likewise, the landlord sent his son, and the vine dressers killed him in Jesus' his own parable. Jesus Christ, who having left the temple of God, his father's house, was rejected from his birth by innkeepers who provided no place to stay, was rejected until his death on the cross, rejected by men even to the very last moment in his earthly life. However, the story does not end here. Christ is the living stone, and we come to dramatic reversal. The reconstruction work of the perfect architect was not finished at the cross. The architect's reconstruction was completed at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He lives. One pastor says, the mention of living refers to Christ as living in the sense of being a living, resurrected person. Now, we see why Jesus refers to his resurrection in John 2:19-22 as the raising up of the new temple, since resurrection is a new creation. In John 2:20-21, we read that the Jews then said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. With his resurrection in God's decree, we see the fulfillment of the reconstruction of the new temple by God. So, we should ask ourselves some questions. Should we not remember how this temple was rebuilt? Should we not carve into our hearts that Christ's perfect obedience to God made this awesome spiritual house? Should we never forget that we are sitting on the pews in this house of God because of Christ's suffering at the hand of people who rejected him? We are building a spiritual house through the fulfillment of Christ according to the architect's plan. Now, we move to our third and last heading, the result of the new foundation, which is the cornerstone is precious. The result of the new foundation. There is now a pleasing word in verse 4 describing the living stone, unlike the negative word rejected. The word is the adjective precious. Precious. Jesus Christ, the chosen cornerstone, should be precious or honored in a better way. As we studied today, Christ was rejected and suffered, yet he became precious at the same time. It's difficult for us to understand this gap between rejected and precious, considering how a diamond is made will help us to narrow the gap between rejected and precious. on YouTube channel, I watched how one diamond is processed from the mine to the market. When they have just been mined, diamond look plain, the same as other rocks. No beauty is found. The transformation from rocks to diamond, there are several steps. First, the rough part is cut away, allowing the diamond to reflect light and reveal the true value. The art of diamond cutting allows the beauty of the diamond to shine through. Likewise, Christ's earthly suffering having ended, He is honored, respected, and precious. More than that, He is still precious in the house of God, still functioning as the cornerstone. You probably know what a cornerstone is, but I will explain it. Rock were the main building materials used for the house of Israel in the first century. There was no concrete or fancy bricks, and a wooden house was not sufficient for their weather. Just ordinary people's houses were built with uneven rough stones and mud. For better housing and the temple, well-cut stone were used. However, in all building construction, cornerstones carefully put in the four corners, or every corners, were important. Builders were very carefully to determine which stone should be a cornerstone because everything else depended on it. Likewise, God chose Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. Three things. One, imagine a cheerleading team making a human pyramid. The person below needed to be strong enough to hold up the others. So Jesus Christ by himself lifted the spiritual house of God. He is a sure and precious cornerstone. Second, another interesting thing is that this epistle we are studying was written by Peter, or Petra, which means rock. He was given this name by Jesus himself. Peter knows he is not the foundation of the church, but only Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. Peter is honoring Jesus Christ. And third, some groups of Jewish people still argue that a new temple should be built in Jerusalem and then the Messiah will come. Ever since the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, they had longed to build a new physical temple in Jerusalem. They are not honoring Jesus Christ in this. Back to the illustration about the megachurch in Korea. You might ask why we were not glad to hear that kind of news. Why didn't the news make me proud in front of you? After all, it shows and proves the success of Christianity in Korea. In Korea, we are concerned because we are questioning whether they are seeking to please Jesus Christ or themselves. We are wondering whether they place their value on the work of Jesus Christ or work of money. And we are concerned because we know that honor and preciousness of the church should be in Jesus Christ, our cornerstone only. We should build a spiritual house only on the very precious cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Here are two simple applications for our practice based on today's passage. The first application comes from the first word of verse 4. Come. Some scholars are of the opinion that in this verse, Peter again alludes to Psalm 34, as he did in the preceding verse 3. The Septuagint has this reading: come to him and be enlightened. Also, Psalm 94 talks about the rock of salvation. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. We are able to gather together and build a spiritual house because of the rock of our salvation. I need to urge you to come before God physically and spiritually, which means we should participate actively in public worship, being nourished by God's word and having fellowship with God's people. At the same time, we faithfully come to God in our daily life. So come to God and come to your fellows. Second, let's be like him, as Peter says in verse 5. Peter also called his recipients and us livingstone. We are the livingstone Christ uses to build his new temple. The material the Lord used to build his holy temple is his people, you and me. Living refers that our identification with Christ indicates our resurrection status even now. And as long as Peter asks us to become living stone like Christ, we should have the same character and nature with him. Imagine one piece of plastic or wood in the middle of a stone house. It's not fitting. We should remember that our nature should be like Jesus Christ, who shows his humility and perfect obedience to God. Today we talk about the foundation of a spiritual house. The spiritual house was already built perfectly in the work of Jesus Christ. But now God is still asking us to build a spiritual house. We should remember the reason why Jesus Christ should come, how he accomplished the plan of God, and how much he is precious. Until the time when we see the perfect temple in heaven, why don't we together eagerly build his spiritual house here? Let's build a spiritual house together. Amen.